Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Efforting Jerry Plum, CBS Sports Bracketologist. We got the Pac-12 tournament starting Wednesday with Utah, Oregon State, Washington, Arizona, Cal, Stanford, Wazoo, Colorado. The Ducks are the top seed going to Vegas, ranked 13th in the country, highest ranked Pac-12 team. They are one of four teams to get the bye into the quarterfinals along with USC, UCLA, and Arizona State. And let's go to the line right now. Jerry Plum is joining us now on the Bald-Faced Truth, Nubian for Canzano. Jerry, it's the best time of year. How are you holding up so far?
Making do. How are you?
Doing quite well. We are, of course, immersed with the preparation of the conference tournaments, getting fully underway across all the Power Fives. Oregon, the number one seed going into the Pac-12 tournament in Vegas. Right now, I see on your bracketology, you've got the Ducks, as of today, being a four seed out of the West region. That would be the Gonzaga region. Is that right? Is that how you have them slated?
Yes.
What else could they do to improve their position there? What else is at stake for them in this Pac-12 tournament?
Well, I mean, all they can do is win games, right? And ideally, beat the best teams possible on the way to a Pac-12 championship. Because you say, well, if we win the Pac-12, what does that mean? Well, what it means is maybe it depends on who you play, because you know, you could get upset along the way, and you don't really beat anybody that helps you significantly. But if you get a chalky tournament and they beat the best teams they can, they probably have a chance to move up. But it'll depend on what other teams do, because it's a very competitive part of the bracket. Most likely, there's going to be another couple of conference champions in that neighborhood. So, you know, it'll depend. But probably a three is the ceiling for Oregon.
Style points, does that matter as well when you get to this point? You got to win. You got to win big.
It matters in the net,
yeah.
But the net's not a decisive thing. I really think it's really just win games.
All right. Who is, in your mind, you've been watching this all year, who's the biggest threat to Oregon in the Pac-12, because it's been a quote-unquote down year for the conference in terms of another excellent team? Is it Arizona? Is it UCLA? Is it even USC who could also walk out of here with this thing?
Yeah, I think it could be an open tournament. I mean, obviously Oregon's a favorite, but any of those teams you mentioned, did you say UCLA? Because they're playing almost better than anybody right now, and they had to if they were going to have any hope of making the tournament as an at-large team, because the first 2 months were so miserable for them. But, I think, you know, any of the tournament-quality teams, any of the, you know, like the two Arizonas, Oregon, USC, UCLA, I would say that any of those have a chance to win it. Colorado's kind of played their way back to the pack some, although they're probably going to be seeded largely with that other group of teams. And, you know, Stanford, probably not. I don't really think of either of those as potential Pac-12 tournament winners, although I think they're pretty good teams.
So I'm looking at the number of Pac-12 teams you currently have slated in your bracketology. You've got USC in there with Arizona as well. Stanford is an 11 seed in your current bracketology. And I see Arizona State is a number 8 seed there as well. It's funny, ASU, a couple of weeks ago, they were getting some headline wins, but how much on the bubble are they still?
No, they're in. Yeah, I mean, they're playing for seed, you know, but that, you know, the reality is that Arizona State's the middle of the bracket team. They're not a top 25 team. They're not really a borderline top 25 team, although maybe if they win the conference tournament, you know, they could get into that range. But more likely, they're going to be probably in an 8-9 game.
So I see with Oregon being a four seed that your bracketology has them going to Sacramento. There would be other potential to stick them like to Spokane or to Omaha or somewhere like that, or St. Louis for that matter. How is the decision-making process for location when it comes to trying to figure out some of these seats?
Sure. So for the top 16 teams, they put them in the bracket, assign them to regions, the closest region they possibly can that's available to them that they're eligible to play in, because there are conference separation rules, and at some point they want to have some relative balance to the bracket. But the Western team, Gonzaga, San Diego State, Oregon, at that top part of the bracket, might all be in the West region as long as they're all on different seed lines. For quite some time, Gonzaga and San Diego State have been on the same line. They can't both be in the West. But because there's just not as much competition, you know, from the Western teams for those spots. So there's a good chance that those teams could all be in the West region. And then the sub-regions are assigned. Once the top 16 are in the bracket, they go through 1 through 16 again and assign teams to the closest sub-regional that they can as well. There's more flexibility there, so it's very likely that Oregon is going to be placed in one of the two Western sub-regionals.
I see Dayton right now is just taking a one seed in your bracketology. For someone that may not have watched a lot of Dayton basketball but looks up and sees them as a number one seed, how would you explain their success this year?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You probably have a lot of West Coast people that may not see a lot of Dayton, just like the East Coast people don't see that much of Oregon.
Yeah.
Or San Diego State in this case. Dayton is a terrific team in the Atlantic 10. They have an NBA guy in Obi Toppin, a guy who, you know, maybe sticks with an NBA team, and Jalen Crutcher. And they're an outstanding defensive team, well-coached, and they're steamrolling the Atlantic 10 this year. They've only lost to Kansas and Colorado, both of them on neutral floors, both of them in overtime. So this is a team that's basically 2 points from undefeated. And they're having a terrific season, and there really aren't a lot of flaws in that Dayton team.
Is it fair to say that this particular season of college basketball is a little bit more wide open from a 1 through 68 perspective than most years?
Maybe, yeah. And it's been a weird year, too. I mean, you look at the ACC, you know, normally talking about 7-8 NCAA tournament teams. They're pretty much stuck on four, might squeeze a fifth. North Carolina finished last in the ACC. That's pretty much the definitive statement of the weirdness of college basketball this year. But yeah, I think you could have a relatively open tournament. The top teams are the top teams for a reason. They're probably going to stick around the longest, but you'll see, I think, your share of upsets like we do most years, and maybe even more than our share.
A lot of interest out here for Gonzaga as well, and they played great this year. They did have, you know, they stumbled against a BYU a couple of weeks ago, but how do you kind of compare Gonzaga's resume and how they match up against some of the other elite teams in the country?
Well, they're a very solid number one and have, I think, a very good chance to win a national championship. There really aren't very many flaws on that Gonzaga team, other than maybe they're not very deep. But they've got skill, they've got size, they can defend, they can score. I mean, there really isn't a lot Gonzaga can't do. This might be Mark Few's best team, and he had a team in the national championship game not that long ago. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do in the NCAA tournament.
I'm looking at Coach Cal in Kentucky, right now a four seed in your bracketology. Coach Cal sometimes puts it all together this time of year, too. Could you see Big Blue being a four seed that can make a deep run?
Yeah, they could even be higher if they do well in the SEC tournament, depending on what other teams do. But, you know, every time you think that Kentucky's got it together, then they lose to Tennessee or, you know, Utah or somebody like, I mean, Evansville, for crying out loud. I mean, it's, you know, this team is capable as a talent to win the whole thing, and they're just as capable of losing a 4-13 game, because that's the kind of view they've had, and that's the kind of team they have. But it's a very talented team and a very dangerous team in the NCAA tournament, and they might not be seeded to the level of their talent because of their indifferent losses and the fact that the SEC doesn't really give them the kind of quality wins they need to get a better seed.
Villanova at that number two seed. We can't forget about them as well. They've been there and done that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the teams that doesn't, you know, have the stupid losses. I mean, Villanova, you know, it seems like everybody has like one or two, you know, like quadrant three or low quadrant two losses. You just wonder what the heck happened to them that day. Villanova is one of those teams that doesn't.
Okay, I know you got a lot to do. Sorry, Jerry. I know you got a lot to do. We'll let you out on this, but how much stock do you put in teams winning their conference tournaments, getting the AQ, and getting into the field of 68? I know there's some stats to correlate success from running the table in the conference tournament to ultimately going deep in March. Do you also pay attention to that any more so than any other given metric?
Not necessarily. No, I think that for some teams, maybe going out early is a blessing. If they've had a particularly long grind, you might see that in the Big Ten this year, for example. Winning the Big Ten tournament this year is going to be difficult. But, you see teams like Connecticut that win five games in 5 days and run into a national championship. That's kind of unusual. But usually if teams are winning their conference tournament, they were pretty good to begin with. So it wouldn't be a surprise that they would do well in the NCAA tournament.
And then lastly, out here, we look at Oregon, we look at Peyton Pritchard, Pac-12 Player of the Year. There's your ball-handling guard that can make clutch shots. Out here, it seems like Oregon is building that recipe that could take them deep into March. From the national perspective, when you look at the Ducks, do you see the same thing? Is this a team capable of making a deep run?
I think they're going to go as far as Pritchard takes them. And he's a terrific player and capable of taking them far. I don't know about Final Four far, but I think that he can carry them on their back for a few games. It's funny, I posed a question I never really got an answer to. If there's anybody out there capable of a Carson Edwards kind of run.
Right.
And one of the names that got mentioned was his. I don't know if he's capable of, averaging 30-some points in the tournament for four games, but he's a guy I think who can carry his team maybe further in the tournament than people would think.
He's at JP Palm CBS, Jerry Palm. Jerry, is this the week of hell for you or the week of heaven for you, this rush?
It's a little of both. it's a grind, but it's a lot of fun. It's a lot better than heavy lifting.
Thank you for making time for us in Portland, Jerry. Appreciate it.
All right, take care.
There he is, Jerry Palm at JP Palm CBS. Good stuff. Good stuff. You just sprint through it with that guy, and it's information. Bam, 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 bam. Love that. Speaking of sprinting, we'll do one more segment coming up. Nubian for Kazano on the BFT. Well, it's been a jam-packed show. Thank you, Kelly Graves, joining the program earlier. Find that on the podcast if you missed it. Plus, Aaron Ventress of The Athletic stopped by. Jerry Palm, CBS Sports bracketologist, just stopped by as well. He says the Oregon Ducks don't have a lot of other competition out of the West region in terms of getting a favorable location. Should that be Sacramento? Should that be Spokane? Even Omaha wouldn't be the worst. They've gone out there. Dana Altman has his Creighton roots out there. They know how to play out there and win out there if they need. St. Louis would be another quote-unquote Western type of region to go to. But as of right now, Jerry Palm's bracketology has them going to Sacramento to play the opening round. Obviously, we know Oregon's success playing in Northern California. The San Jose success they've had has been well-documented. Sacramento, obviously, is basically the same type of thing. Duck Nation would flock there, pardon the pun again, that's two for two for me, and they would be able to get, in theory, a couple of favorable matchups. Now, a 4-13 game, those 5-12 games you always pay attention to, of course, that's a given. Sometimes there's like 3-12 upset of the fives in one single bracket. 4-13 games, very similar. And right now, Palm's bracketology has New Mexico State as the 14 playing or as the 13 playing Oregon as the 4. Should that hold up? You know, I still think if you're Oregon, you'll take that. You'll take that type of a matchup. And the Ducks still with plenty in front of them. And I'm interested to see which team will give them the biggest challenge. Probably Arizona. You know, I know Arizona's had a down year, but they got that Nico Mannion guy and slick Sean Miller and you know, you just don't count those guys out in a Pac-12 tournament format, Zimmer.
Yeah, and you look at a lot of the different things. I think Arizona with Mannion, I think you can look at UCLA just because they're playing hot if they meet them in the championship game. And you could probably say the same thing with Arizona State. If they get themselves right, they could, and at the right time, you always talk about, you know, having this is March time frame that you've got. Anything can happen.
Did you just say this is March?
I did.
This is March. That's right. I think that's a perfect segue. We got our first This Is March blast of conference tournament week, and it's courtesy of a team that we did not expect. University of Portland, women's basketball, taking on Gonzaga moments ago in the West Coast Conference semifinals. Peter Sampson, roll it out. Oh, no, here. Okay, here. I think I got it. I got it. Here we go.
More time in the half court set.
They go to Fowler straight away. They'll hand it back to Andrews with 7 and 6-5. Andrews through the defense, scores! Haley Andrews gives the Pilots a lead with 3 to play. Loetta across midcourt at the buzzer. No good! Down go the Zags! This is March!
Yes. This is March blast for UP women's basketball. How about that? And Zimmer, they are going to the West Coast Conference Championship game for the first time in a while.
Yeah, first time since 1997 that they went. That was during their, that was the final year that they went to the NCAA tournament during a four-year stretch where they went from 1994, 95, 96, and 97. They went to the NCAA tournament all 4 years. They didn't win the conference that year, but they still made it as an at-large team. So maybe this year they can sneak in and steal a bubble spot from some team in the women's bracket.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. That's great. It's so good to see dramatic moments for, you know, the more secondary and tertiary programs that we don't talk about a whole lot, like UP women's basketball. There you go. That's perfect. It does make me start to get my mind ready for March Madness and for the big emotional moments. And I know Gus Johnson no longer with CBS. Polarizing broadcaster. But man.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.